City Current Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Park. As we mentioned at the onset, we get to talk about food and using it for good, amazingness. We have Jeannie Hunter. She's the regional director with Society of St. Andrew for the state of Tennessee. Society of St. Andrew, amazingness. Let's start with Jeannie. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
Doing very well. So give us a little backstory in terms of kind of the history, and then we'll dive into the work that you do and the way you do it, which is absolutely amazing. Give us a little history lesson.
Sure. In 1979, a couple of pastors got together and bought a farm and thought that they would end hunger by starting this farm and feeding people. And very quickly, they realized that farming is not easy, and a lot of food is just going to waste. So they were meeting with other farmers, and somebody at some point said, I have a pile in a field of 1,000 pounds of potatoes that nobody's going to buy from me, meaning like grocery stores, and you can have them if you'll give them away to somebody who needs them. And that's how we got started.
And the rest is history.
Yep.
Well, and to your point, when you look at it, there are strict guidelines in terms of the way the fruit has to look or the food or the potatoes. And so for farmers, you end up with some of the crop that can't be sold. And so there's that. And then there's also, too, some that might be after season. And so there are a lot of opportunities to work with farmers to use that surplus and to use the food that they can't necessarily sell on the commercial side to be able to use that to power the good and to feed those who need the food.
That's right. We deliver it to agencies all over the state of Tennessee that feed hungry people.
And on your end, walk us through how this works, because obviously it's easy to say that, but there's a lot of logistics in terms of volunteers and timing and the transportation and the, you know, even refrigeration. There's a lot that goes into this. So unpack that a little bit in terms of how you do what you do.
That's exactly it. It's a lot of logistics. We are constantly talking to farmers about when to get out in the field, and we're talking to agencies about when they are going to serve food or deliver food, and we're keeping track of who's got refrigerators and how big those refrigerators are, all kinds of different information, and we try and keep it as local as possible, so we try and know the different food banks and food pantries in each different area of the state. So, yeah, it's a lot of logistics, and Kelsey is our program coordinator, and she does a lot of that.
Well, I think that's where, for listeners to understand all the nuances in terms of, you know, being able to get it right from the source at the right time so that, you know, this doesn't spoil or go bad. So there's that piece of it. Then, as you mentioned, the refrigeration, the transportation, and then making sure that it gets to the families in a short amount of time so that they can use it, because it is all healthy and nutritious.
That's right.
It's just a matter of being able to make sure and activate on it quickly.
That's right. Yep.
Walk us through on your end, because you've got some big numbers in terms of even just last year, the number of pounds of food, the number of volunteers. I mean, you've got some huge stats. So give us some stats that you kind of collect and look at on your end.
Yeah, last year we had 916,000 pounds of food that we rescued at different places and throughout the year and delivered to different agencies to feed people. We have 160 different farmers or providers, because we'll also take food that is excess from, for instance, there's a yogurt manufacturer that sends us a truckload every now and again. We get food from the,
How much of that is on your end? Like when you talk about a yogurt manufacturer, how much advance notice do you get on that? Do you get much advance, or, hey, swing by tonight?
Yeah, it's usually a couple days. Yeah, because as you mentioned before, things will go bad real quickly if we don't get them delivered quickly.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it's the yin and the yang. It's the opportunity, but it's also, too, the infrastructure to be able to support that sort of opportunity. So you've got to be able to mobilize, whether it's the kind of the truck side, the transportation side, the volunteers, or your team. You've got to be able to activate pretty quickly when you get those phone calls or those emails. You know, in some cases, 24 to 48 hours, you've got to be able to mobilize to take advantage of that.
That's right.
Yep. That's why you have to have an army of do-gooders.
We have lots of good volunteers. We have lots of good volunteers, lots of great agencies that help us out. Yep.
Give us some on your end. When you look at success, and obviously you shared some stats, but what does success look like to you? When you're looking at the impact and how you're grading that, what does success look like?
I would like to see that Tennessee has no good food that goes to waste. That's a lofty goal. Right now, the United States throws away probably about 40% of what we grow. And that's also wasting all of the resources and materials that go into growing that food. So everything from labor to chemicals and fertilizers and pesticides, to the transportation that handles all of that stuff. And so the idea of seeing the waste decrease would be great. And then also, of course, seeing that people are not missing out on meals.
Right.
Our neighbors all over the state, there's 17% of people that are food insecure in the state of Tennessee. And seeing that all of those people have enough to eat three meals a day would be beautiful.
So you hear the word food deserts a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where on your end, it really is critical to not only do what you do, but to work with the partner agencies to make sure that you're not only providing the food to get to from the big picture, but also down at the very neighborhood level where there are food deserts, that becomes a major priority. Talk about kind of your vantage point on working through the partner agencies, but ultimately to strategically focus on the food deserts that that need to be combated against.
Right. So a food desert is when there's a large area where there's not a grocery store or a good food source. And surprisingly, these happen a lot in rural Tennessee where the food is actually grown. So it's kind of ironic, but we do try and work with pantries and food banks and soup kitchens that are closer to those rural areas. We're in about a third of the counties in the state. And so we're trying to get as many areas as we can.
How can the public help? Because there's a piece of this where, obviously you're working with the farmers direct, and so creating those relationships and opportunities, making those fertile. You're also, too, working with other groups that like the yogurt manufacturer. So the businesses and those that are using food but would have access and might have some waste that can be put to good use, and waste in a good term, not a bad term, obviously. But then you need the volunteers. There's a lot of pieces to this puzzle. So how can we help?
You can volunteer. You can sign up on our website to volunteer. You can donate funds so that we can do our work. You can, if you know farmers or if you are a farmer, you can call us up and say, I have excess food right now. Any of those things are the big things that we need.
I know in your end, potato, you mentioned that kind of as a piece of this, but you have the Potato and Produce Project. So talk about kind of that side, but also too, when you talk about working with farmers, is it literally any crop? I mean, kind of give us some direction on what sort of food items.
Yeah, definitely food crops. So we're not going to do like tobacco or soy or something, but definitely food crops. We'll go out into a field. A farmer will call us and say, I'm done with the corn for the season. And we'll go pick whatever extra corn is out there on the field. And we'll call up a bunch of volunteers to go out there with us. A lot of times it's faith-based organizations. Sometimes it's schools. Sometimes it's just homeschool moms and kids. And we'll go out and pick that corn or strawberries or whatever it might be. And we'll call the local agencies that are closest to that farm, and we'll say, hey, is this a day that you can receive however many pounds of strawberries or whatever number of corn, ears that we think we're going to get? And they will say yes or no, and we'll either call somebody else or take it over there. Or if they have refrigerated trucks, they might come and get it, just depending on what the source is. The potato project is different in that potatoes and some other crops are all harvested regardless of what they look like. And so it's you'll have them sorted into the, quote, good potatoes and the, quote, ugly potatoes. We call them the ugly potatoes because they're still just as nutritious and just as beneficial, and they still feed people, but they can't sell them at the grocery store. And so we will take those, quote, ugly potatoes and sort them out into 10-pound bags. They usually come by the truckload, and we'll sort them into 10-pound bags and then deliver them to whatever agencies will receive them. And that's a really fun event because it's, 40,000 pounds of potatoes or sweet potatoes and 100 and so volunteers, and they're just bagging and talking, and it's a good time.
Well, for listeners too, I mean, like you said, whether it's picking the strawberries, the ears of corn, sorting the potatoes, obviously you need a lot of manpower out there to be able to do these things. But how cool of an experience for, like you said, a family, a school group, great educational opportunity as well. When you talk about learning where your food comes from and being hands-on, what better way than to go out there and literally pick strawberries, and also too, pick them knowing that it's going to a higher purpose, knowing that it's going to feed those who would not traditionally have access.
That's right. A lot of times people at food banks will get canned goods or processed stuff, so it's really nice to be able to give them fresh stuff. And then it's really great for families and especially kids to see this stuff come out of the ground and get their hands dirty and be out in the sunshine. And it's also nice, when we think of hunger, it's this big abstract thing. And so it's really good to get your hands dirty and be there and actually see this is an actual sweet potato that an actually hungry person is going to eat. And yeah. I did that. Yeah. So it's a really great feeling.
And going back to the financial side, you have a lot of easy kind of opportunities. You have Adopt a Bushel. Talk mm-hmm. about Adopt a Bushel.
Yeah, Adopt a Bushel is an opportunity for an organization usually to we'll send you a little bushel basket of toy food, and you can then sponsor the different kinds of produce that are in that bushel, and in that way do a group fundraiser for us, for our work.
Yeah. Talk about the financial side on your end in terms of, you know, obviously to do what you do, there is a cost. So talk about, you know, you can go into detail or not, but budget, how much roughly it costs to do what you do.
We keep things at a very low cost. Our average across the organization is about 9 cents a pound, which is 3 cents a serving of food, which is very low overhead. We don't own trucks. We work primarily by mobilizing volunteers.
Yeah.
And so the overhead, and it means that we're able to do a lot of good work.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's where, I mean, I think for an organization like yours, it really is critical to have a large number of volunteers who come from all different sectors, who have access to trucks, who have access to know logistics and be able to be flexible with their schedule, access to school groups and kids and families. Spheres of influence are really critical to be able to do what you do and to be able to mobilize. Talk about Harvest of Hope.
Harvest of Hope is a really great opportunity to do some of this gleaning work in a concentrated amount of time. So we'll do a weekend or a week-long program where folks will be out gleaning food. When I first did it, was a week of picking kale, which was...
It's very healthy.
It was very healthy. It was exhausting. It was amazing work. And we do it here in Fayetteville, and it's sweet potatoes that we're harvesting. And it's really good fun, and it's, again, that same tangible, doing something good. And then we also talk about hunger and food waste in the area and in Tennessee and about what impact you're making by doing this. And it's a great opportunity for groups of people to be together.
And that becomes a really contagious opportunity for you to then get more involved, to get your family involved, your coworkers involved, and create that ripple effect. So where do we go in terms of website, social media? Where do we go to learn more and to take those steps to get involved?
If you go to endhunger.org, you'll find lots of information about what we do and about hunger in the United States. If you go to endhunger.org/Tennessee, that's where you'll find out more about us in particular. And there is also a place where you can register as a volunteer. And if you register, we will add you to our email list so that if something is happening near you, you'll get an email saying, come glean strawberries with us next week, or come glean potatoes with us, or whatever it may be.
Talking with Jeannie Hunter, the regional director for Society of St. Andrew, obviously for the state of Tennessee here in Nashville area. Talk about on your end, what puts a smile on your face? When you look at the work you're doing, the impact you're having, what puts a smile on your face?
I love seeing the kids in the field. I love when they, you know, pick something and they're like, look at this crazy sweet potato, and they've never seen this vegetable the size of their head or whatever it might be. It's really fun.
And then what would you say in terms of, especially for companies and schools, I know you work with a lot of schools and vacation Bible studies and things like mm-hmm. that. What would you say to them in terms of the importance of their involvement to participate, but to activate and do what you do?
We absolutely need them. We couldn't do this work without our volunteers.
And I think, I mean, just looking at some of the stats, you've got almost 31,000 volunteers. I mean, that's a huge number, but that's awesome.
Yes.
That shows the heart, the servant leadership in the heart. But at the same time, I think that's also the part where we as listeners can come alongside and add to that number so you can do even more good.
That would be great.
So tell them again, Never Can't Say Enough on the Radio is a website, social media. Where do we go?
Endhunger.org.
You're also on Facebook. I think you can find Facebook, LinkedIn. If you just search Society of St. Andrew, mm-hmm. you're very easy to find.
SOSA.TN and SOSA.TN.
So endhunger.org. Make sure everyone go and check them out. Jeannie, thank you for all you do and for coming on the show. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.